Our scripture reading today is from the second chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 12. You can follow along in the Pew Bible or in the bulletin. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard of this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
So today we celebrate Epiphany. Right? Theologian Walter Brueggemann said this: "On Epiphany Day, we are still the people walking, and the darkness looms large around us. Fear, anxiety, violence, loss, a dozen alien nations that we cannot manage. Yet we are aware, yet we are," he says, "or we could be," he says, "people of God's light. So we pray for the light of God's glorious presence as we wait for God's appearing. And we pray that we may see and know and hear and trust in God's good rule." It's in light of these thoughts that I share with you this Epiphany story. So a story is told of days long ago in a land of many kings, a story of Belacor, the Median, a priest of the Magi and a king in his own right. Now, Belacor's estate was on the top of a hill overlooking the region. And on this particular night, he stood on the terrace, just as the finger rays of dawn were beginning to appear. He was enjoying that cool quiet that comes right before the rays begin to appear. And as he looked out over the eastern plain, he saw white mist as if it was a lake over the land. And above, the sky was perfectly clear. Well, Belacor stood on his rooftop terrace in this pre-dawn quiet, trying to free his mind from all that had happened, trying to make sense of what made no sense, what he had learned just hours before. You see, the story was told from days gone by of how one day a wise and holy child would be born. From generation to generation to generation, the knowledge was passed down of the coming of a child who would be a great and mighty king. The stories told how this child would bring justice and compassion into the world, of how the child would become a king to rival all kings. And so for generation to generation, they watched the stars and the planets for a sign that the child was to be born. They watched the stars and the planets for a sign that justice was on its way. And this day, Bellacor was told that the stars had finally revealed that the time was now, that wisdom and love would be born in the form of a child. He even saw the signs himself, and yet it was just too incredible to believe. You know, there were others like him, others who thought it was just foolish, an old tale, a story some had made up about justice someday in order to keep the peace. Just a story. Yet there were others among the Magi who believed. They talked of justice and love as if it already existed. They talked of this call of love with such passion that Bellacor yearned to believe with them. He watched as they sold all the possessions that they could sell, and they readied their camels and gathered provisions and bought gifts for the child king. He watched and yearned to join them, and yet feared what it might cost. Well, after several days, Bellacor decided he just had to go with them. He could not resist any longer. "Why would you want to make such a long and arduous journey?" they asked him. "You really don't believe, so why would you want to go and put yourself to the trouble?" "I don't understand it fully," he said. "I just know I have to see where this road leads." So Bellacor went, and he sold what he was willing to sell, the few possessions he felt he could afford to sell away. And he bought his own provisions and had enough left over to buy one small pearl as his gift for the child king. Small and perfect and so luminous white, it was as if it was, the way snow-capped mountains are lustrous in the twilight. The others had gifts that were far greater to give, and he didn't know if this one small pearl would be enough, and yet he didn't even know if there would be a king to give it to. So he took the pearl and he put it in the pouch around his waist so that it would be safe. Well, at last the preparations were complete and the caravan got underway, and they traveled for several days. On one day, they came across a child on the side of the road. And they got into conversation with this child and found out that the child's father was gravely ill. And the Magi, who was a healer, offered to make poultices and tisanes of herbs for healing. So they camped there while the Magi, who was a healer, tended to the man's needs. And while they waited, Bellacor realized that the family had almost nothing left, no food to eat, for the father had been gravely ill for many weeks. When it was time to leave from that place, he saw the Magi, who was a healer, went into her stores of food to give to the family provisions until the father was well enough to provide. Bellacor said to her, "What are you doing? If you give so much to them, how will you know you don't need it later? Are you crazy? You're being foolish. When you run out, what will you do then?" The Magi, who would be a healer, replied, "Love knows no boundaries, Bellacor. Justice is doing what we can for what's happening now, not for sometime, someday." So they left that place. And after many days of travel and several frustrating delays, one night they came upon a grove of date palm trees that loomed like a dark, gloomy island in the night. And as they began to enter the shadows of the trees, Bellacor's heart quickened because they could see there ahead at the outer edge under a tree, a dark shape. As they got closer to it, the dim starlight revealed to them that it was a man. And they learned that he was all alone and far, far from home. So the Magi, who knew stars, asked the rest of them to turn aside with him, to help the man find his way home and make sure he arrived safely there. But why would we want to do that, right? We're delaying our quest. Someone else is going to come by and we'll take care of him. We could give him a little food, maybe, but we don't need to turn aside. We're looking for the child who will tell us about justice and compassion. We don't need to change our plans. The Magi, who knew stars, replied, "Love knows no boundaries, Bellacor. Justice is doing what you can for what is happening now, not sometime, someday." So the caravan turned aside down another road in order to help the man on his journey. They traveled for several days until they got to a place where the path to the man's home was clear before him. And the Magi, who knew stars, gave him provisions to sustain him on the last part of his journey. And then they continued on their way. They traveled for a long while until they came to the edge of a desert. And as they paused there and looked ahead at the vast sand in front of them, they knew that the way through would be treacherous and long. So they took stock of their provisions and supplies, and don't you know, the Magi who gave from their stores, sure enough, didn't have enough. "See," Bellacor says to himself, "see, I knew they shouldn't have given that away. Now they don't have enough to make it through. How foolish they were. What are they going to do now? They're just going to have to go back home." Jeez. And he heard another Magi say, "Don't worry. Among us all, we have enough. Come, let's all continue this journey." Well, their travel through the desert was as difficult and as long as they imagined that it would be. And on occasion, they came across other travelers in need, and time after time, Bellacor witnessed the other Magi giving to those in need, either from their talents or from their stores and supplies. He questioned them time after time, "Why are you doing this?" And each time the Magi replied, "Love knows no boundaries, Bellacor. Justice means doing what you can for what is happening now, not waiting for some time, someday. After many long months of travel, Bellacourt actually began to wonder if he was even on the right road, on the right path. He began to wonder if they'd lost all hope of finding the child who would be king at all. He wondered if perhaps he should just return home. And yet, he traveled on. Well, at last the caravan came to Bethlehem, because that was where they learned the child would be found. When they entered the city, Bellacourt reached his hand into his pouch just to touch the pearl and make sure it was still safe. And he pictured in its mind's eye how pure and lustrous the pearl was, like the beautiful snow-capped mountain peaks in twilight. Surely this is good enough for a king, he thought. Well, as they walked through the streets of the city, they had just passed the entrance to a house of guards, when out comes a troop of soldiers dragging along a young girl whose dress was torn and her hair was matted. And as Bellacourt looked at her with some compassion, she managed to break free from her captors, sank down at his feet, and grabbed the hem of his robe. "Sir, please, sir, can you help me? My father was a merchant, and he is dead, and they have taken to sell me to pay his debts. I do not wish to be a slave. Sir, have pity on me." Bellacourt trembled. He felt within the same conflict in his soul that he had felt on the road as the magi who was a healer gave provisions to the farmer's family, as he felt in that date palm grove as they turned aside to take another road, and again and again and again in the desert as they came across others in need. Was not their journey to find the child who would bring love and justice, was that not the most important thing?